H-Z-Go.
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most.
Yeah.
They doing real good, yeah.
Get down.
I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
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 These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Hey, that's me.
I bet he loves this podcast.
Saints. B-S and B-Boys.
I'm certain of it.
I love this.
I told you. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elsenson.
I got nothing.
I'm Dave Romero. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. So from Ruston to Monroe, from Downsville to Eros, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do 97.7 and the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Guys, it's another win for the Saints. Makes Woo-hoo. It 5 in a row.
Yeah.
And the Saints continue to win playing ball control offense, which is something that we're not used to seeing.
No.
I got all kinds of news, all kind of information, and what's great, when we get to this part of the season, well, at least this year, we get to this part of the season, and now you can start looking at some stats. You can start looking at stuff, and it kind of means something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, game one, game two, you look at like, well, you know, we're second in the league in rushing with, you know, it don't matter yet.
Right.
Now, here we are. I have all kinds of news. I'm going to call it Twitter news because I kind of go through my Twitter, and I compile all this information. I have the 5 highest grades from Sunday's game. From John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. I got that from his Twitter. And apparently, there's a new movie coming out called Raiders of the Lost Game, and it's starring Cam Newton. If you saw him after the game, he got that hat on like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
But then he looks like the professor with the little bow tie. And every week.
He's mixing it up. Mashup. It's a mashup.
Every week he's coming up with something more interesting. The Saints struggling on offense, or are they playing ball control? I think we need to ask that question. Mm. In other news, student gets first-hand job experience.
Yes, I saw that.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. Student gets first-hand job experience.
Oh, okay.
There's no punctuation. It's just the title.
Not quite as
exciting. I saw that on the internet.
I read the article thinking I was going to find something there.
Well, you know, I'm like, I wanted
nothing
to go
there.
I wanted to go to that school myself. Yeah. I didn't know. But as I read it, it wasn't as interesting as the title was.
Definitely not as fun.
Anyway, P.J. Williams and also Willie Snead. Handful of snaps each. We need to talk about them. We have, within a short amount of time, I don't know when exactly, I bet we'll start hearing about the return of Bro. So where does he fit in? I think we need to talk about that.
Bench.
we'll see. We'll talk about it. I didn't want to get into too much detail, but Lattimore, our rookie sensation.
Rookie of the year?
Amazing.
Rookie of the year. I said
Two targets, right? One pass defense, one interception. But
good.
He was only the second highest player rated by a John Hendricks list here.
Yeah.
So who's number one? Stay tuned and you'll find out, huh? All right. No, you're not excited about that. We got some hotline calls. Hey, I'm trying to put it together for you guys.
We already know.
I guess that's true, huh? I guess prepping for the radio show, I don't see the suspense. But out there, the people are listening.
That's right.
I bet they're leaning in right now as that's I speak right. to turn the volume up a little bit.
Perhaps so.
And absolutely. Maybe rip off the knob.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Let's go ahead and get this show started. There's so much to talk about. We need to get rolling. All right.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
So as we try to embrace our neighbors here in Reston Monroe, listening to the station, I looked at the map. I see Eros. I kind of introduced him in there at the beginning of the show, and Tomas has some interesting facts about him.
Yes, okay. And looking it up since we were debating the correct pronunciation.
And then we still don't know if we have it right. So one of you guys out there, if we're doing it wrong.
What's the hotline? They can certainly call
us. They can call the hotline, 701-901-1295. Let us know if we're pronouncing that right. Because I have a feeling I don't pronounce much right. So yeah. there's a very good chance that even if it was something more simple.
Or if we can even actually be heard there.
Yep.
There you go. It's only one square mile of land.
1 square mile.
No water.
No water.
No. Okay, 151 inhabitants.
151. No tourism. You didn't find anything about some tourism up there?
Nothing.
Like place to stay, nice
Apparently
restaurants?
Not.
So how good are the school districts?
None.
Oh, okay.
None. So they have to be bused somewhere else.
I'm presuming.
Yeah, I have to imagine.
They're up by Ouachita County.
Oh, you see, that's Ouachita. More information we didn't know about. So I'm wondering.
They're
if,
the Indians.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they not just all gathered around the radio, listening to the show right now. Just I can see it. There's not much else to do in a little small town like that.
Could be.
Just gather around
all
the radio.
By this all right. Point, too.
Yeah, they could.
They're
be
not going to be listening anymore. After
no,
this.
After that. No, I'm just saying. Hey, I'm from a small town. It's like it's one of those things where I can say whatever I want because
yeah.
I'm from a small town too.
Oh, well, I can't. Not, so I can't
make any jokes about big towns.
Right. Oh. Well, they don't roll up the sidewalks quite like they did 50 years ago when you came.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, well, you know how to. You know, Tomas
and the Twin Oaks trailer park.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. What were we talking about?
Your birth certificate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my birth certificate. I forgot about that. That's one of those things I tried to block out of my mind.
I'm sorry.
It's just repressed memory. Yeah,
repressed memory. Is it repressed memory or stupidity? I'm not quite sure yet. Yeah, it's like.
I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So let's jump into this the highest grades. I got this off of Twitter, off of John Hendricks' Twitter account.
All right.
I'll go with number 5.
Yeah.
With an 82.4 rating, AJ Klein.
Yeah.
AJ Klein had a pretty good game.
Yeah, playing very well. Yes.
Playing well. Here's something I find interesting. Sheldon Rankins, 84.6. We've been getting a lot of discussion about Rankins.
Yeah.
Now, what I find interesting is the guy right above him, David Onyemata.
You're Canadian?
All right, hosers. I want all 12 of us fighting for every meter on all 3 downs. We're going to make this a boxing day the Prime Minister will never forget.
Our Canadian import, yeah. Right? I mean, he's Canadian, by the way, of Africa somewhere. What was it?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyway, so we'll look that up, too, whenever we get finished researching the other towns between Reston and Monroe. We'll research where David Onyemata's at.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the defensive line apparently grayed out pretty well. And I saw David Onyemata, who's always kind of been a guy that I'm interested in watching.
Yeah.
He made a few plays, but, man, I tell you what, there was a point in the game where I looked to you guys and I said, man, I'm getting a little worried because in the first half I felt like that Chicago Bears offensive line was really getting a push on our defensive front 7.
They were.
And so, you know, I find it surprising that you had David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins.
I'll tell you why after, but, you know.
Okay, so now we come up to Marshawn Lattimore, 85.8, and – obviously, that's a good score. I want to make some comments, but I think before I do that, I have to go to the surprise name that's number 1.
Yeah.
And it really, really surprises me.
Who's that, Dave?
Ken Crawley.
Tomas'
very own Ken Crawley, his brother-in-law.
Right. Now, they don't factor tackling into these numbers, obviously.
Obviously, they do not factor in tackling.
Just shoulder hits.
No, yeah. I specifically remember 2 pass breakups, very excellent breaks on the ball.
Yeah.
Ken Crawley made the play.
Yep.
But I also recall several tackles that's just like, oh, my God. So at this point, I think it's fair to say Ken Crawley is not a very strong tackler.
No.
And the ironic thing about it is his game is predicated on being physical. So he is physical with the receivers.
Right.
For whatever reason, he's just...
Well, he's trying to deliver the kill shot. The problem is he's not doing that very well either.
He aims at the outside shoulder.
Yeah, I guess.
Well,
you know.
In the words of Neon Dion, it's a business
decision. He's making a business decision. Yeah, I just don't get it sometimes because he's so physical when he's pressing the receiver and how he works with the receiver. Well, there's the music. Before we go, Marshawn Lattimore, 2 balls thrown at him. 1 was an interception, 1 was a pass defense. He has a lower score than Ken Crawley.
Yeah.
Sports Talk 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
The second segment is like Motown. It's the Motown segment.
Yep.
All right, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, and 97.7 Sports Talk. Listen, before we get to the good and the bad and the ugly, let's just quickly go over the top 10 from this week's Pick'em. Tomas, take that over and let us know what's up.
I'm just going to read through the top 10 for this week. At the top of the board is Lord Boudreaux.
Boudreaux.
Followed by Baba Yaga. B-Train.
B-Train. Joe Groove. I think B-Train gave us a call this week.
Oh, okay.
Joe Groove, Orion, Brooks, Captain Cheesy, Cincy Saint.
What the heck?
Topher Leroy.
Guess that's what he wants to call it.
And Who Dat Fisherman. That's the top 10.
Top 10 for this week.
But now, I have to point out that yes, we have a very interesting choice of name.
We didn't notice it so far.
I hadn't noticed it before. But at number 25, it's Sheriff Wilmore B-P-P-D and Goo.
And go. Listen, what you guys may not realize, especially those new to listening to the show up there in Monroe and
Ruston.
And
Eros.
And Downsville and Eros, is like, man, they don't pay us a whole bunch to do this show, so we got to have our own sponsors. So we shake the trees wherever we can and get us a sponsor. Yeah. So right. Matter of fact, let's hear from one of our sponsors right now.
Hey there, this is Cooter Wilmine of the Boudreaux Parish Discount Gun Shop. Due to the high demand of high-quality tasers, we're overstocked, and now we're blowing out our inventory. There are other uses for tasers other than law enforcement, such as defending yourself from home invaders. But let's say you might not have concerns about home intruders. Well, you might have a mischievous dog that likes to get into trouble. Well, you can dial it back a touch and... Or what about an undisciplined teenager that likes to take out your truck in the middle of the night because they think you're sleeping? And what about that wife of yours that likes to sip on a little bit of grandpa's old cough medicine and then start getting a little mouthy with you? So head on down to Boudreaux Parish Gun Shop and pick up your taser today. Tell them Cooter sent you.
Tell them old Cooter sent you. That's right. Listen, matter of fact, let them know that you, the boys from the BS and Beer Podcast, you know,
that's
they
right,
sent you over there, and then we get some kickback on that.
There you go.
Matter of fact, speaking of some kickback, that's right, Don Bobo.
Don Bobo.
Five games. Listen, I want y'all to know, we don't ask you guys to send money. We don't expect. You can't buy wins like that. I mean, it'd be silly to even expect that.
Yep.
But for $5, we can ask Don Bobo if he can prevent some injuries, get us another victory on Sunday. We've done everything we can. Our GoPay Pal Me account, there's nothing in it. Nothing in it. I check every day.
What's going on?
And you would think after the wins that you're like, okay, I get it. It's Saturday. You're not going to send no
That's
money
not
to Don
money,
Bobo.
Man. What's going on?
But come Sunday afternoon, after the game and the Saints win, you think that all of a sudden it would be like, and just the money's rolling in.
Yep.
It's not. I don't know what it's going to take to convince these people.
I don't know.
Don Bobo is making things happen. Matter of fact, Lil Dice talked about it last week. He said that, look, his pick'ems might suffer. And that what they don't understand is all the money I'm spending on these chickens.
That's right.
every week it gets a little bit more difficult. So I went from 7, now I'm up to 14. Next week is going to be 21 wings. I don't even know if I can eat that many wings. and nothing. No money coming in. I don't know. You know what we're going to have to do? Not this week, but one of these days, we're going to have to not make no prayers to Don Bobo. We're just going to Don Bobo, going to leave him over there. And if the Saints don't win, then we'll have to teach him a little lesson.
That's right.
Send that money in. Send that money in. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Speaking of Tomas.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
What's wrong, Tomas? Come on, man. Keep it together, baby.
Like Don Bobo was trying to get back in the act there. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, it sounded like Don Bobo's. Like, anyway.
Well, is that speaking of me, the beautiful?
That's exactly where I was going with that. The good, the bad, well-groomed. The ugly. The what? The well-groomed. You are. You look mighty sharp today. You're the only person here with shoes on.
No, apparently.
He brought his shoes. I'm the one that I...
Is that smell?
I'm going Zen Master.
Fritos. Okay.
I like to go Zen Master, you know, with Zen my wisdom Master. And my expertise in the fields, you know.
How you pronounce that city again?
Z-I-N, Zen Master. Okay, anyway. You had some good that you want to share with everyone?
Sure. I'm more than happy to share my good. My good is this show. My good is, I think it's pretty obvious, our kicker and our punter. Mm. I think that we've really harnessed two very good players, and I'll take a step further. One good player who's still developing, that would be our kicker Lutz, but the man who always makes a difference. You know, when you're playing, one of the things they talk about is making sure that if you have to give the ball back to the other team, that you put them closer and closer to the goal line, because over the course of going back and forth, you get that extra field advantage.
When that field
and by golly, I mean, Thomas Morstead, man, that guy can knock that ball and kill it on the 2-yard line. And you just can't over appreciate what he does.
One of the things that I started thinking today as I was rewatching the game is the Saints they're playing good defense, so they're trying to play ball control. And you can't be a good ball control team if you don't have good special teams.
Yep.
And the Saints special teams outside of a kick return.
And even then, Will Lutz came in and
made the tackle. Yeah, I mean, matter of fact, they threw a penalty on him for being too aggressive. I mean, the way he took that guy down, getting a little extra in there. So,
You know, the special teams is good when you get late into the game, and Chicago starts on their own 29, and it was the best starting field position.
It was the fourth quarter, and they brought it up, and we both kind of looked at each other and like,
really?
So that's how you got to play it. If you're going to play ball control,
absolutely,
that's the things you got to hear, is that they had to go the long field every time. The only thing is you would hope not to fumble the ball twice at the end of the game.
Well, you were just doing good.
Right, we're just doing good. I'm just making a point. Yeah. All right, Heath, give me your good.
All right. My good is going to have to be Drew Brees.
All right.
You know, we've gotten a little bit on Drew Brees lately. He hadn't looked so great. He hadn't looked so Drew Brees-esque. But yesterday, nice efficient day. Nice completion percentage. You know, smart decisions. Didn't throw any crazy passes. Didn't take any big risk. Which, you know... I mean, that's kind of good and bad at the same time, but...
Well, we were debating that.
Right.
And it's something I want to talk about anyway.
It certainly didn't look like the Saints offense that we're used to in the Peyton Breeze era.
Is it that there's nothing down the field, or is it that going into the game, we are now in a position with our defense where the coach can look at the team and look at Drew Breeze and say, hey, they cannot beat us unless we beat ourselves.
Right.
Do not throw an interception. Don't fumble the ball. And they simply cannot beat us.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Except for.
So Mark Ingram says. So
like Mark Ingram likes challenges.
Yeah.
Has two fumbles in the game, but we won't talk about that now.
Okay. But also, and Drew Brees hit was the third player to reach 6,000 completions. Mm-hmm. And he did it in 19 fewer games than anybody else. So
that's crazy.
And the other two, yeah.
That's ahead of him still, Peyton Manning.
And Brett Favre.
And Brett
Favre.
The
usual cast of characters.
Yeah, the usual cast of characters. That's right. Here's Lil Dice sent us an email. And the Saints have won with their black pants 5 times this year. 4 of those times, they scored 20 or less points. He says, black pants got to go. Now, Lil Dice, is it the black pants or that when the Saints play that with the black pants, they play tough, control, and that's the kind of defense
they're
playing.
Well, we know for sure that Lil Dice is not a fan of scoring less than 40, 50 points.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Lil Dice likes the high-scoring games. All right, so my good, I have to go with the two highest-graded players from this week, and that's the defensive backfield. It's the cornerbacks, Lattimore and Ken Crawley.
Yep.
Now, I am not a fan of the direction that Ken Crawley is going in with his tackling. But I think we could segue into another conversation. Delvin Bro, who was a starter and played really well his first year, came back from injury last year, maybe didn't play as great as we had hoped or expected. But I think the expectation is that he will play a significant role on the team. I think that I could ask a simple question I think all of us would answer. What will Bro's role be? Who will he take off the field? And I think at this point, despite his tackling issues, obviously Lattimore's not coming out. I don't think Crowley's coming out. But there was a guy who wasn't playing very well and blew at least two coverages that they were blatantly obvious, and that's Von Bell. So is there potential that Von Bell might be the guy that sees a reduced role? Matter of fact, I would even go as far as saying he might see a reduced role even if Bro's not back on the field yet.
Well, you know, you have that three safety set, and as you say, Von Bell, on one play in particular, Vaccaro told him he was in the wrong place. Then he moved around. Then Vaccaro was like, wait, you're still in the wrong place. And put ball snap. Now Vaccaro's in the wrong place and Von Bell's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But really, it was Von Bell. He just took off down the middle of the field. He was like, there's nobody there, brother. You're going the wrong way.
Well, yeah. It is one of those things where coach always tells you, if you don't know what you're doing, just hit the man in front of you as hard as you can.
But he did.
No,
he
just
took off like a
bat
out of hell.
It was third down and 10 and more. He just dropped back in the coverage and said, hey, maybe somebody will run. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody get behind me.
He just took off. He bailed out backwards. Yeah. They threw a ball to the flats.
And then, though, he cut all the way across and tackled the guy.
He did make a tackle because I remember making the comment that because of Crowley's poor tackling, he still ended up hitting the receiver out of bounds really hard and managed not to
hit Crowley.
Any collateral damage by hitting Crowley.
Yeah, he can actually aim.
But the problem with that is that was yet another third and long, and there were at least two of them in the game because they were so obvious. Sometimes you don't know exactly who's responsible for what.
Bell
gave up two big plays on third down and long. I mean, third and 11.
So, again, and you know, you had asked, you said, well, how come Bush is in there? You know, I mean, they're playing this three safety set, and sometimes it looks like they're playing a four safety set, for God's sake, you know? So I think that if Bro comes back and he pushes in – I could see them using a straightforward two safety set, you know, and using a slot cover guy. But I don't think that Bro will be, you know, just thrown in there right away. I think they'll, you know, pick their spots to put him in and bring him back a little bit of time, especially because we don't have the urgency for it.
Right. Matter of fact, I said to someone on Twitter, and they were like, actually, Coach Payton said they're going to ease him back in. And I kind of laughed. I said, it's always easy to ease him back in when the guy ahead of him is playing really well.
Exactly.
If we'd still have
Webb,
or the kid that started early in the season.
Devontae Harris.
I bet you they'd be like, well, he's ready to go, and we need to get him on the field as soon as possible because he's just itching to play, you know. Yeah. So I think they're kind of – it makes sense, though.
Well, I think they rushed him back last year.
I agree with that.
With that crack medical team that we had, being the operative word. I'm not really sure that he was ever healthy.
He wasn't. Yeah,
you know, and that's why he played poorly last year. So they're going to ease him back in. A lot of it will come down to what he looks like in practice.
Absolutely.
I mean, if he comes back and looks like he did his first year, well, that may be a whole other story. I mean, he was lights out and everything. But, I mean, Crowley's been playing really well, you know. So
I mean, you cannot argue with his coverage. And, again, sometimes you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Like,
the issue we have with that is, you know, what we were saying before about if they take one of the safeties off, Bell or whatever. I don't know which – none of those three guys are slot guys. Crowley, Lattimore, and Bro are all outside corners.
That's true.
I really don't know which one of those three guys you would even attempt to try to put in the slot like that. But I guess we'll find all that out coming up. But
well, because the only slot guy really was Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Peanut, don't make me push the button.
Go ahead, push the button.
Don't make me do it.
Go ahead, do it.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Yeah, no peanut butter jelly. I think we just have Nutella now.
Well, I mean, I need to get him back on the fielder because sooner or later I'm going to have to take that button off of the pad there if you don't start getting some more playing time.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's take a hotline call because we have a caller who – wanted to talk about the defensive backs.
Who at? This your man, A.T. Black. I would like to take a chance. I'm reading some of the comments from some of the fans about the defense. People need to realize about 2-3 years ago, we had the likes of Corey White, Patrick Robertson, and guys like that. As soon as they get burnt, they would break down, and 2 or 3 plays later, if not 1 play later, after a big play, there will be a touchdown. Ken Crowley is playing good ball yet. Even if he gives up something or he gives up a reception, he forgets that play and he's right back at playing good defense. Nothing about the entire defense at all. Like, even after the 50-yard run by Jordan Howard, the simple fact of the matter is that Marcus Williams stayed calm throughout that whole process, made the tackle, got him out of bounds. Any other guy would have freaked out back in, you know, a couple years past the Saints defense history. And not only that, the guys buckled down. They don't panic, and they don't, once they give a big play, they're not arguing with each other still. They're back to playing defense, trying to get a stop, limiting points, which they did today. And that's my spiel. Who that?
Hey, if you want to be part of the hotline, 701-901-1295. You know, give us your thoughts, your opinions. You just want to give a shout-out or whatever. It's an easy way to do it. Between Sunday after the game till Tuesday. But he's right. At least right now, Heath, we're talking about who's the better or the worst of the really good cornerbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a complaint we haven't had in a long time.
Yeah.
97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer podcast. Welcome back, the BS and Beer podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero. I'm here with Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk. And at the end of our last segment, we had a caller on the hotline. That number, 701-901-1295. Call in, be part of the show. It's much more fun when you guys are involved. But he was talking about the defensive backs. And one of the things that I didn't really get a whole bunch of time to say because we were up against the break is, now we finally complaining about Ken Crawley, oh, his tackling. I mean, he's playing great football.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't even bring up all these little things because at the end of the day, it's a net positive.
Right.
And so Tomas brought up some names that just kind of I threw up in my mouth a little bit. My stomach was
– Yeah.
But
yeah, here are some of those names from the 2014 roster, just to give you an idea. Brian Dixon, Terrence Frederick, Stanley Jean-Baptiste, Keenan Lewis, Patrick Robinson, Jamarcus Samford, Kenny Vaccaro, Pierre Warren, Corey White.
I remember. What a group.
How did we win any game?
I mean, matter of fact, what, statistically,
2014.
In 2014.
We were number 32. We were the worst.
And that's the one we talked about. If there were 50, we were 32.
Yeah.
But the difference between 32 and 31, we would have been like the 50th ranked team.
Yeah. So that's what we had basically for 2 years.
Yeah, and, you know, he really kind of hit the nail on the head. As far as Crawley is concerned, you know, we saw glimpses of his talent last year. And I think the biggest difference between Crawley last year and this year is that he gained the two things that he lacked last year that cornerbacks really have to have. Confidence.
Right.
And the short memory between plays, you know.
Absolutely.
Last year, Crawley would give up a play. He'd get a little down on himself and flustered. He may give up another one. You know, that
things
sort of
start snowballing.
Yeah, and now he's playing really confident, and he has that short memory, and, you know, he's playing well, other than a tackling issue.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier we were talking about Delvin Breaux and his return. I find it – I mean, listen, Delvin Breaux played some good football his rookie year. Again, off of injury last year, not so great. Having said that, man, I might have to go back to 2014 and watch some film because, I mean, I can't imagine that he was playing much better than Crawley is playing now.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. I was thinking about this, why I brought this up. So this is the people we had in 2014. Bro comes in for the 2015 season, and he's like, oh, man, this guy's fantastic. Yeah, but compared to what?
And you're right. Relative to what?
You know?
Like,
you remember because we had the two Dixons, right? We had one that made the team, then we signed the other one who's the twin or something, remember?
Yes.
So, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we had no – really, who did we have? Yeah, I went down the list. I mean, there's nobody on this list. Marcus Ball at strong safety, cornerbacks with Brian Dixon, Terrence Frederick, who I remember, Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
Yeah, it was never –
for God's sake.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when Bro comes in the next year, sure. I mean, it's like, wow, this guy can actually play. Now, the question is, compared now to Lattimore – and the place where Crawley is.
Right.
Where is Bro?
Where's Bro? And what's ironic is I don't know if I've ever really paid attention enough to – I mean, we're only playing two cornerbacks.
That's it?
I mean, there's not a lot of snaps going around
right.
for more cornerbacks unless there's an injury. Now, obviously, we let go of Sterling Moore.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's opportunity, but it's depth opportunity. It's not snap opportunity. Right. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take another hotline call. This time, Lil Dice, he's making his weekly appearance. We'll see what he has to say.
All right. Hey, this is Lil Dice. So the offense has really been struggling. They put up 20 points this last game, but the real problem is they keep turning the ball over. Now, I know it was Ingram this time and not Breeze throwing interceptions, but this is a problem that we have to fix. The defense bailed them out this time around, but, I mean, hey, we're playing against the Bears, and we got to get bailed out. That's not good. I'm enjoying the winning streak. Don't get me wrong, but we have the division games coming up, very important games. We have to get that fixed on offense. Offense has to carry their load.
So there's Lil Dice. He's disgruntled, okay? The Saints don't score 40. He's upset about it. Yeah. I think he has some – he's like Tomas. All his players on his fantasy team are Saints.
Let's not even go there, okay?
Yeah, no, he's all upset. He's all upset.
Sneed, zero.
Yeah.
He had four snaps the entire game. Now, I'm hearing that it's just a matter of easing him back into the game, but, man, you think – I don't know, man. That's a lot of and that's another question. You have Coleman. Coleman had a big play. He had a few catches. He's playing pretty well.
I'm running, coach. I can't hold myself.
Between him and Kamara tripping themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting ridiculous.
But Kamara does a little slide thing, and
he just smoothed everything, even stumbling. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So, but to get back to this, basically, the question I had when we introduced the show: are the Saints struggling on offense, or are they playing conservative? Because of the competition. Because people say, well, they're playing down the competition. You can make the argument. And I'm not saying I believe one or the other. But I think it's an interesting discussion is, are they playing down the competition? Or are they just playing conservative?
Yeah.
Don't turn the ball over. Don't attempt plays that aren't there. Don't try to force anything. And, yeah, what you end up with is strong running game. We ran the ball well. I mean, we were effective, but not the effective that we're accustomed to.
Right, right. Well, you know, on first glance, what I would say is that they are playing conservative ball control offense, and because of that, they're struggling. And what I mean by that is that's just not what the Saints really do.
Right.
Okay, they're not used to playing that way. Now, that said, if you don't have those two fumbles, this looks a whole lot different as well.
Right. I mean, you can at least add on another 6 points.
Right. On the other hand, poor Zach Miller.
Oh, gosh. That was gruesome.
I mean, that guy blew his knee out.
Blew his knee out is an understatement.
Yeah, and all he got for it was this stupid T-shirt because I got news for you. As far as I'm concerned, that was a touchdown reception.
No, I'm the same way.
I have no idea how they called that.
Okay, well, now I've done some investigating.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, because it bothered me that, you know, does anybody really know what a reception is?
I don't think so.
Okay. So here was what I gathered from all of the different people other than Bandino.
Okay. And where every week so far, I'm sick of hearing from him, and he's wearing the opposing team's colors on his tie every week. I'm just saying.
That color was close enough to be
close
called
enough.
Chicago Bear.
He was asking his wife, babe, is this Chicago Bear? No, honey, I don't have one. Just wear this one, honey. It's close enough.
Close enough, yeah.
So other than Bandino, what I gathered was this. What they're looking at, what stops it from being a catch is if it is bobbled at all when he hits the ground. It's got to be firm against your body when you hit the ground. Or it's got to be firm between your hands when you hit the ground. If it bobbles whatever when you hit the ground, which is exactly what happened in this
game. There was a little movement, yeah.
Then it's a no catch.
Well, okay.
From what I've been able to gather,
here's
now
the thing.
I disagree.
He caught the ball. And while there was a little movement, it never touched the ground.
No.
But that's
he rolled over in pain.
And set the ball down.
And set the ball down.
So he could grab
but
his
it
knee,
wasn't
you
when
know.
He set the ball down. That was not what made it an incomplete.
No, that cannot be possible.
I'm just telling you.
No.
I read the referees. You know, after the game, the referees had to file a report. And so I read the report that they filed. And that's what they had in there. That there was a bobble of the ball when he made contact with the ground. Therefore, incomplete.
You misread something. There's no way you catch the ball and you bobble it and lay on the ground with the ball in your stomach.
Well, no, it's gotten so ridiculous with officiating in the NFL that I wouldn't even suggest that he misread it. It literally can be that stupid.
Yes, it is.
Okay? I keep jokingly saying one day we're going to get to the point where the guy's going to catch the ball standing up, no bobbling, when he runs off to the sideline to celebrate and hands the ball to the equipment guy, they're going to call it an incomplete pass.
Exactly.
Because he didn't complete the process, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, either way, the guy should have got a touchdown.
Yeah,
I'll take it. I'm a Saints fan.
Yeah, I'll take it.
But if the bottom line is, if we're going to call it like we see it, it's a touchdown.
But look, they made the same call the previous week in the Jets game, where the Jets should have won that game. I want to say they were playing New England. They should have won that game. The guy caught the ball, crossed over the goal line, and then bobbled the ball and went out of bounds. And they said, touchback.
Okay, two completely different plays. One is the guy was running with the ball, with possession, and he crossed the goal line. The other one caught the ball in the end zone.
He caught it just as he was crossing into the goal line. He caught the ball.
I mean, I saw the play. He caught the ball, and then he ran it.
I'm telling you, this is what they jump on. It's the bobbling of the ball.
Right.
And to me, it's like, okay, once you cross the goal line, the play's dead. It shouldn't make any damn difference whether he bobbles it, shoves it up somebody's behind.
If you're running back, the point of the ball is over, as soon as it happens, the ball's dead.
It's not a fumble.
But if you catch the ball in the end zone, it's not as instant.
You're over the goal line, and it's stupid.
Is you have possession and you're running, and I get what you're saying about the Jets thing, is that he caught the ball, and as he was turning, they saying he didn't maintain possession.
But you're talking about when you're running, if you stick that ball over the line and immediately drop it after the point goes over it, they still give you a touchdown for that.
So it's all, when did the catch officially,
when did the process end? Is what they keep calling.
But
you know
where I'm going with
what
the
about
Zach
the
Miller?
bobble between the guy taking the ball away from Thomas after they were already laying on the ground?
Okay, we can spend this entire segment.
But here's where you could go with that. I mean, it's stupid, is what it is.
We can go this entire segment and discuss this. It was a gruesome injury.
Yeah.
Dislocated knee, and he might lose his leg.
Did you hear about that? They were having emergency surgery Sunday night, Monday morning.
Yeah.
And
arterial damage to the area.
Oh man!
That's like the thing that happened to Bo Jackson with his hip. You know, where he just died. Yeah.
Right. No matter of fact, I won't be able to. His last name was Edwards. He was a running back for the Patriots. He was playing sand football in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And I played football, messing around in the sand. How anybody could take a professional athlete. That's like taking one of these award-winning horses from the track and then bring them out to, some whatever.
Put a plow field
and have them go run out there. And his leg, and so on the flight back, they had to make an emergency landing because they realized that he was
losing circulation.
Yeah, and that they were going to have to lose a leg if he didn't get emergency help. Yeah. So just a crazy situation.
Well, good luck to Zach Miller, and hopefully that turns out all right for him.
So the Saints moved to 5-2. Five in a row they've won.
Yes.
We're going to talk more Saints when we come back because that's what we do. Sports Talk 97.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Dog.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here on Sports Talk 97.7. And Tomas, Heath, I think that we need to spend a little time doing the bad and ugly. We got to get that out of the way.
Get in there.
You know, a lot of good's going on.
Right.
But I think it's our obligation to the people to do the bad and the ugly.
Absolutely.
All right, sounds good.
So where do we start? Tomas, I think you always trying to find something wrong with something. So
the bad is really easy. The bad is fumbles. That's the bad.
It's a fumble.
Exactly. And like we said before, hey, you can excuse one because the other team is playing as hard as they can to get something. But you can't excuse two. And, this game is about, as Dave said, at some point you've got the game won. All you have to do is be a good time manager. You hit that line. When you see you got nothing, you drop to your knees. That's it. Now they can yank it out all you want. You are on your knees already. Play's dead. Next play. You have to play smarter football. So to me, the bad in this game was Mark Ingram. That's it.
Real quick, I'm going to tell you the bad that I Cam Newton. His dress this week, it was bad. But I have more. So Heath.
Yeah. For me, I think the bad, this is bad or ugly or both, was the officiating. Yeah. You know, I know we've talked about week this. I mean, you could almost do this every week, really. Yep. But, I mean, in this game in particular, there was some really phantom, horrible calls.
What about the face mask when Chicago got down there?
Yeah.
There was nothing there.
The flag's thrown before the play's even over.
Yeah.
On 43. 43's not even covering him. It's 32 covering.
And like I said before, even to be fair on both sides, Zach Miller had a touchdown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
it wasn't just the one way, but God, I mean, and then what I really, you know, again, I know I've talked about this before, but how do you know, in the old days, they didn't have replay and everything, you could understand, right? This is bang, bang thing. If the official wasn't in the exact right spot,
right,
you can make some mistakes, right? You understand that. But how do you then add a video component to where they can look at the play and they still get stuff wrong? Then you add more eyes in New York that are also looking at the play.
And still
get calls wrong. You know. Anyway, not to mention that when they start, sometimes we get to the end of the game, man, they're reviewing 2-3 plays in a row. Yeah. Completely screws up the flow of the game.
Exactly. And I agree.
And still getting calls wrong. Yeah. So, you know, anyway.
No, you know what? And this is the thing. I don't care for people. I shouldn't say people, but I don't care for the whole complaining about the refs. And blaming the refs. I mean, I on Twitter, I got into with a guy who was saying that there was a play late in the game. Chicago was in our territory in the red zone, and they went to pass, and A.J. Klein came shooting up a gap.
Yeah.
And just knocked.
Tattooed him.
Yeah. Tattooed him. Just knocked him on his back.
Yeah.
And the guy shows a video, and he says, oh, right here, helmet-to-helmet contact. I took his own video. And just, you know, did screenshots. And I'm like, at no point did his helmet ever touch Trubisky. He came in there, and he was shot out of a bullet, out of a gun.
Yeah, I know the
And he used his hands, and he just punched him in the chest or pushed him in the chest, knocked him down.
Yeah.
This guy's complaining. I just don't want to be that guy. Having said that, I mean, it's every week it's just a major call.
Yeah.
That's just like, it would be different if it was close, but it's like, man, it's not even close.
And that's what I'm saying, though. It's both ways. I'm not just from a Saints perspective. Oh, you know, we always getting screwed with these calls. I mean, it's both ways.
Yep.
And it just kills the flow of the game.
That's the most important thing.
That is true.
Yep. And then they still get it wrong. Yep. It's like, so you could kind of forgive it if it's a, you know, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, my bad is Von Bell. There were two obvious situations. You know, the Saints, there was at one point where the Saints put Chicago in 6 consecutive 3rd and 10 and more. But two of them, late in the game, Von Bell blows a coverage and just leaves a guy wide open. And both times it was pretty much the same kind of play. Just throw the ball out there to a wide open guy who gets the first down. And these things kept Chicago in the game.
Yep.
And it's back to problems we had last year and problems that we seem to not be able to get away from. Is you can have, meaning in the first two games, where you can have 10 guys doing what they're supposed to. But if you have one guy who consistently fails in coverage, then you just go after him. Because you can have somebody who's, let's say, they always in the right spot. Let's call him a Shanley-type player. He's always in the right spot. If you keep going after him, you will win because you're physically better than him. You'll win quite a bit.
Right.
But when you have another guy who's an average player and then he constantly blows coverage, if you start looking at the percentages, man, next thing you know, all you gotta do is go at him more times than not,
right?
And eventually good things are gonna happen,
right?
And I'm not saying that's where Von Bell is, but what I'm saying is he needs to clean it up.
Yeah,
because we talked earlier about Vaccaro and the contract and whether Bro's gonna come back, how that's all gonna fit in. Do we re-sign Vaccaro? Because he's gonna command, especially he's playing really well.
Right.
So if you want to bring him back, he's going to want big money. So Von Bell is a Vaccaro-type player.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, you know, and I think that's the important thing is when they play in 3 safeties, he's not play. We've already figured out that he's better as a strong safety and more closer to that Vaccaro role than he is to a free safety.
Yep. Right.
Yep. Okay? And so when they're playing 3 safeties, that's not what he's playing.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. I mean, the guy was a high draft pick and everything. He should be able to handle whatever. But, like you said, watching this play out, what are they going to do with Vaccaro and then what happens with Bell if he slides into that position and whatnot. You know?
Yeah, so if we don't see some improvement, and we have plenty of time to figure out, because the one thing that I always say, and I've heard other people, so I don't want to make it like it's my thought, is you don't want to get to the end of the season and not know what a player is. You know, like you have that quarterback, he's sitting on the bench, you're not winning. Do you want to go into the offseason not really knowing if he's capable of being the guy to take your team to the next level? I don't want to go to – we have plenty of time to find out if Bell can be that guy, if he can be what Vaccaro is, or at least some role on the team where the Saints can make an intelligent decision on whether or not they want to pay, because Vaccaro is going to command big money. He's playing very well right now. He started off very slow early in the season, but he's been playing very well since.
He's playing very well, but in a limited role. You know, and I don't know how many other teams out there
would have that position.
Right, they're not going to play him in the same way. They're going to look at him and go, "This guy's not worth anything to us. He can't play.
He's not a linebacker. He's not a safety.
Right.
Would do the Saints have a role for him?
Right.
And you know what? That's something I didn't think about it from that perspective. I mean, Tomas, does Vaccaro? I mean, does he command that big money next year in the offseason?
Well, here's the thing. There's always going to be a team that says, you know, we could use him. You know, and they'll make a bid. Yeah, it may not be what he wants, but it may be more than what the Saints want to pay. So you just never know. And just because we see him in a certain perspective doesn't mean every other team.
There's always at least one team out there that looks at him and says, we can fix it.
Yeah, I'll coach him up. I can coach him up.
Exactly. It obviously happens all the time.
Exactly.
Well, you know, how many times do we say it, too? It's either that guy that's low on the roster that he'll never make it through waivers.
Yeah.
Or it's a guy like, oh, man, I wouldn't pay him $8 million or $10 million a year, and then he signs a contract for $12 million.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So
exactly.
There's always a team out there that's going to find a spot for him.
Yeah.
Convince him themselves that he's the answer to the problems. But let's say
I can tell you a team right now, if you really want to know.
Let's hear it.
Pittsburgh.
Hmm.
Yeah. The Steelers. Because they have corners. They don't have safeties. You know, they have one. You know, but they could go with another guy, especially a guy who could play up close, like Vaccaro. And especially in the division that they play.
Yeah.
So that would be a team right there, I could tell you, they would say, okay.
You know what? I mean, I could see some validity in that. I'm sure that if we pay closer attention, we can find the teams that run a similar defense.
Yeah.
That, you know, you never know. They might find a spot for him that's even more suited to his skill set. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but you never know. Anyway, listen, hey, if you're enjoying the show, you like the show, why don't you go ahead and send an email over to 97.7. I don't know what that email address is. Tell them how much you like us. Tell them how much you want to hear from
us. Appreciate us.
And that you guys appreciate it. And you can hear more of the BS and Beer podcast crew. You can also get in touch with us with a little Twitter action. That's, Tomas opened the world of Twitter up to me. And now that's all I do is Twitter.
Yeah.
So my Twitter, Saints BS.
Mm-hmm.
Heath got on it.
Yeah.
You're not very active, though, are you?
No.
No. This is not your thing? No.
I shut it down especially because you're so active that it drives me nuts.
Oh, well, I didn't know the amount
of notifications coming
I didn't know
through.
That you – he showed me something. Tomas, you're not the only guru. He showed me something. If you go to the individual person, you can push something, and then when that person tweets, you'll get a notification.
Right.
So me and Heath are sitting there.
Why did you not know that?
I didn't know it. Well, I tell him I'm still learning. So every time I'm tweeting something, and like I try to just be active.
I turned you off a long time
ago. I was about to say, I've since turned it back off.
Like every time I tweet, I Heath, and then he looks at his phone, and I'm like, oh, coincidence. Yeah. And then now I'm like realizing.
It's every time you tweet.
Yeah, so
he literally
tweet,
did that. He's like, is that me when you?
I said, man, is that me?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, how you do that? So he shows me. So I'm still learning. There's all the little tricks and everything. You can also call us on the hotline. 701-901-1295. Now, the best time to catch us on the hotline, right after the game.
Yeah.
Game's over, pick up your phone. There's no hold. There's no wait. You don't have to,
fresh on your mind.
Yeah, fresh on your mind. Tell us what you think, man. Give us a big hoot at or whatever it is. You little good, bad, and ugly, whatever. Keep it under a minute. But if you give us a call anytime, let's say usually you need to call.
They'll send you an email.
Before Tuesday. Yeah, in the email.
What's that email address?
Saints B. I don't know. It's BS and Beer.
Yeah.
At iCloud.com.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's all kind of ways to get in touch with us. Listen, I personally, I can't speak for Tomas and Heath because they're kind of antisocial people. But me personally.
This is the kind of crap we got.
I like to hear from people, and I'll always reply to the emails. And like I said, until I make it a – because you always ask, Dave, whenever you make it big, man, you're going to forget about us little people. I'm like, damn right I'm going to forget about y'all. Why I want to hang out with you two when I could be hanging out with a better class of people? So I'm just saying, that's the way I look at it.
We are the best. You'll never find anyone like Keith and me.
That's right.
Anyway, listen.
You tried.
Despite having
you tried and despite you didn't
having
make
to
it.
Put
Come
up
on,
with,
you know it.
Despite having to put up with Heath and Tomas, I still enjoy doing the show. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Hey, don't forget to download and listen to our number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.